نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. Most respected elders and friends, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says us in the Quran Kareem, if you claim you love Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then follow me. Follow the Sunnah, the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And only if you do that, then Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will love you, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive your sins, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Ghafoor, Allah is most forgiving, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is most merciful. In one ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ فَقَدْ فَاذَ فَوْذًا عَظِيمًا. That person that obeys Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has achieved great success. Every Thursday night, we're talking about the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and different incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our last discussion, we spoke about the conquest of Makkatul Mukarrama and how Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into the Kaaba Sharif. Today's discourse will commence from that point where Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif, and thereafter Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the mount or to the hill of Safa. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced the Kaaba Sharif, and for a long time Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged in dua. After the dua, there were many men, many women came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Mount of Safa to take bay'at on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many men, they took bay'at on the hand of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them on Islam, because they've just come out from kufr and decided to accept Islam. Some of them who were already Muslims, they took bay'at on ita'at, on obedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the Rasul of Allah. Some of them, they have taken bay'at on jihad and exerting themselves in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There were also women that have taken bay'at on the hand of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bay'at of women was based on an ayat of the Quran Kareem in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, idha ja'aka al-mu'minat, yubayi'naka ala alla yushrikna billahi shay'a, wala yasriqna, ولا يزنين ولا يقتلن اولادهن ولا يعصينك في معروف فبايعهن واستغفر لهن الله. In which Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when believing women come to you to take bay'at, then take bay'at from them on these conditions, that they should not make shirk with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, they would not steal, they would not commit zina, they would not kill their children as was the practice in the pre-Islamic era. They would not make any accusations, open, clear accusations against anyone. And they will not disobey in anything that is good. Once they have done that, seek forgiveness for them and thereafter take bay'at for them. So many women came and presented themselves to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take bay'at. One very interesting incident of bay'at was the bay'at of Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the wife of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a leader of the kuffar, and in all the wars against Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin, he was a leader, he led everything. So one can understand that such deep enmity and deep animosity between Abu Sufyan and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. And here is his wife, Hinda. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam just before Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could enter Makkatul Mukarrama. And Abu Sufyan told his wife, Hinda, that she has no option but to accept Islam. So Allah granted her the tawfiq to accept Islam. When Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the hill of Safa, so Hinda, she wore her niqab. She covered herself and out of shame for what she has done all these years. So much of animosity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was responsible for the shahadat of Hadrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She vowed that she would take the liver of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and chew it. And that's what she did. One can understand so much of enmity in her. Today, Allah has blessed her with the tawfiq of iman. She covered herself, she goes to a cave, she goes to a hill of Safa. She presents herself to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she says to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what undertaking you want us to give to you? So first thing Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to her, لا تشرك بالله شيئا. Don't make shirk and kufr with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now she was a very outspoken woman. So anything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, she had an answer for it. So she told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that was not the same condition that you had put for the men. We have heard how you have taken bay'at for the men. You didn't tell the men, لا تشرك بالله شيئا. Anyway, I accept it. Second condition Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, لا تزني. Don't commit zina and adultery. On that too she replied. She said, does any honorable woman commit zina? Third condition, don't steal. On that she told to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got one problem. I've quietly and secretly taken the wealth of my husband Abu Sufyan to fulfill my needs and the needs of my children. And Abu Sufyan was right there. Abu Sufyan heard the confession of his wife Hinda in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He from the corner told, don't worry, I have forgiven you. Then, she told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but my husband, Abu Sufyan, rajulun shahihun. He is a person that doesn't spend openly. Is it permissible for me from his wealth to take what is sufficient for me and for my children? That's when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, خُزِي مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَوَلَدِكِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Whatever the norm of the time, take for you and your children, and for your children from the wealth of Abu Sufyan, even if it is against the consent of your husband. Fourth thing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to her, لَا تَقْتُلْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنْ. Don't kill your children. Took bay'at on that. On that too she replied to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have nurtured our children from small. وَقَتَلْتَهُمْ فِي بَدَرْ كِبَارًا. And the battle of Badr, you all kill our children. Anyway, she said, أَنْتُمْ وَهُمْ alam. You and them know better. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was there. He actually laughed out. And then, the last condition Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put, لَا تَأْتُوا بِبُهْتَانِ. Don't make any open accusations against people. So on that too, Hinda mentioned that buhtan wa amrun qabih. That's a very evil thing. Who would do, may make a false accusation against people? Finally, she told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Prophet of Allah, you only order us what is good and wa makarimul akhlaq. You order us things of good, noble character and conduct. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took bay'at. The manner Nabi Kareem sallam would take bay'at with a woman, among other procedures, on this occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought a container of water. He put his hand inside the container, and then he took out his hand, he told those women that would wish to take bay'at on the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put their hands now in the container of water. And in that way, they would consolidate the bay'at with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, she told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, there were a time in my life where you were the most hated person. And your face was the most resented face in my life. But today, you are the most beloved person in my life, and your face is the most beloved face in my life. So this was that incident of Bayat during the conquest of Makkatul Mukarrama and the Bayat with Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha. Another interesting incident was with another person, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah radiallahu anhu. He was the foster brother of Osman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was an educated person and he was also the scribe, katib for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where he used to come down, and among many people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call, one was Abdullah ibn Baysara to write down the wahi and revelation. He became a murtad. He reneged, came out from the fold of Islam. And when a person comes out from the fold of Islam, then the only penalty for that person is death. This is referred to in the Quran Karim itself. So during the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarrama, he hid away. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala found him. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala advised him, come, I will take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I will seek protection for you from Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, my brother, Abdullah ibn Sarah, forgive him. Nabi Sallam didn't say anything. Kept quiet. Until Uthman radiallahu ta'ala made this request many times, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted his tawbah. He, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba there, you all saw how many times Uthman has asked to forgive Abdullah ibn Sarah. I didn't. Wasn't there any intelligent person to behead him here? Sahaba mentioned to Ya Rasulullah, why didn't you merely make indication to us with your eyes or something like that? That's when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it's not appropriate for a Nabi of Allah to work with ishara and with indications. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him, but then Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah, his Islam became very strong and perfect. At the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the governor of Egypt and few other places. Toward the end of the life of Abdullah ibn Sarah, during the conquest of Makkah, he was almost condemned to death. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him, but he became a very sincere, honest Muslim. There was a time in his life when he was in Khurasan or in Sajistan. One morning he woke up and he made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, Allahumma ja'al akhira amal as-subh. Oh Allah, make my last amal in the morning. Good action indeed in the morning. Such a beautiful death Allah gave him. He makes his wudu, he performs the salah, he makes the first salam, he was unable to make the second salam, as though with the second salam now he was gone into Jannat and Paradise. Great Sahabi of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A third very amazing incident that related to the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarrama was the Islam of Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl. Abu Jahl, arch enemy of Islam, Ikrama was the son of Abu Jahl. Father had so much of animosity and enmity for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same was Ikrama as well. During the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarrama, he ran away, he went away to Yemen. His wife, Umm Hakim, she accepted Islam and she came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, O Prophet of Allah, I love my husband Ikrama. He ran away to Yemen and I seek aman and protection for him from you. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the wife, the Islam of the wife, and gave protection for her husband. On that side in Yemen, one incident happened. Strange incident happened with Ikrama. He was sailing on the ship and the ship got caught up in a storm. So in the ship, he knew now it's about time for him to drown. So he started praying in the name of Lat and Uzza, in the name of the idols. So the occupants of the ship told to him, Lat and Uzza can't help you. Yeah, you need to turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with one and alone. So he, in his heart of hearts, he thought to himself that If nobody besides Allah can help me in the center of the ocean, then nobody besides Allah can help me out of the ocean, on earth. Then he makes this dua and he says, Allahumma laka ahdun. Allah, I make a promise to you. In afaitani mimma ana fi. If you have to give me afiyat, if you have to save me from this calamity and difficulty that I am in, an aati Muhammad. I will come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hatta adha yadi fi yadihi, where I will place my hands in the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fala ajidannahu afwan afuwan karima, that I would find Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a very honorable person and a forgiving person. Allah saved him, accepted his dua, he came to the shore. And to his amazement and surprise, his wife Umm Hakim was waiting for him. She then tells to him, Yabna Am, oh my cousin brother, ji'tuka min indika Muhammad. I have come to you from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is awsalun nas wa khairun nas. The best of persons and the person, the best of reconcilers of people. And then he said that, la taqtul nafsak. She told to him, don't kill yourself. I have got protection for you from Muhammad. So, she takes him to Madinatul Munawwara. On the way, he wished to cohabit with her. So she told to him, although we are husband and wife, but you are a non-Muslim, I am a Muslim. And until you don't formally accept Islam, then I am haram upon you. She exercised restraint. She brought him to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her hijab and niqab. She stood in one corner and Ikrama presented himself before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He greets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, I have heard that my wife had got protection for me from you. Is that true? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it is true. He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you want me to do? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him da'wah to deen and Islam, and there he had accepted deen, he had accepted Islam. Now, after he had accepted Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make istighfar for him. But now he started regretting his past. What I have done with my father against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin. And by the way, before he could come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to the Sahaba, he told to them that, يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَا مُؤْمِنًا لَا تَسُبُّوا يَا أَبَا فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتِ يُوزِي الْحَيِّ. He told to the Sahaba, Ikrama will be coming to you soon. He will be coming as a mu'min, as a believer. Don't swear his father Abu Jahl. We're swearing a dead person. That causes taklif to a living person. So don't speak bad, don't speak ill about him. When Ikrama came, accepted Islam, and Nabi Karim made tawbah and istighfar for him, then he told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I regret all the wealth I've spent against Islam. Now that I'm a Muslim, I will spend double amount of wealth in the propagation of Islam. And then he told to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those places that I stood and I spoke against Islam or fought against Islam, I'm going to go back to those very same places and propagate Islam from those same places. This was his commitment and this was his tawbah. And his amazing part of Ikrama, his iman became so strong, so good, that he loved the tilawat of the Quran Kareem. And he would open the Quran Kareem and he would say, Haza kalamu Rabbi, Haza kalamu Rabbi. This is the kalam of my Rabb, this is the kalam of my Rabb. And in this way, he has spent his life and he had passed away as a sincere, dedicated, devoted Muslim. We make dua, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, grant us tawfiq, hidayat, to draw from the great akhlaq, character, conduct, sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implement it in our lives.